In your Bibles, book of Exodus, chapter number 29. We're going back there. Exodus chapter number 29. Missing a few people here tonight. We want to pray for Brother Matthew and pray that God would reach down and touch his body, his sick in body tonight. And that's where Brother Reed is today. And so we want to pray that God would touch him and heal him completely. And then we also want to be in prayer for all of those that are seeking the Holy Ghost. And let's pray for Ruthie. We want to pray that God would touch her and fill her with the Holy Ghost. And then also there's Kim, and both of these have been baptized in Jesus' name. We want to pray for Kim. She's seeking the Holy Ghost. And then also Annette, and I want to pray that God would just give her a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so we want to keep these in our mind. I'm going to preach a little bit about it tonight, and you'll understand as we get through and go through all this. Exodus chapter number 29, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 36. The Bible says, "And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it and sanctify it. 7 days shalt thou make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. And whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy." And so we want to go back into verse number 36 for our lesson tonight, and we're going to talk about cleansing the altar. Amen. And when we have made an atonement for it, we're going to anoint it and sanctify it. No way, I'll get to that part, but let's just talk about the cleansing part of it and ask the Lord to help us here tonight. Would you do that today? Heavenly Father, we love you, we thank you, we appreciate you. We give you glory for all that you have done. Praying, O Lord Jesus, that your Spirit would help us, that a spirit of revelation would come down mightily amongst us. God, give us a revelation, impart unto us understanding in all of this. Oh God, I'm praying that as it comes and that as we get a hold of it, that a burden would come over us, O God, and we would understand the importance of it all, Lord, and take it to heart individually. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we give you the glory today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. And so for several weeks now, we have been talking about the favor of God in a desperate need of the favor of God. And we talked about Esther and how that she humbled herself and she sought the king's countenance through his servant there and his cupbearer, or his just his servant. And so she went before the king to find favor. She found favor. But favor was not a one-time thing. Favor was a lifestyle, in that she conducted herself in a right manner, and then later on there was a need to find favor with the king again when he had not bid her to come, and so she approached him, and again he granted her favor. And so we see that favor is it's a lifestyle of how that we conduct ourselves so that we might be able to obtain the favor of God. And so then we got into 2 Chronicles 7, and we began to talk about my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways, that he will hear our prayers. And so we're seeking after the favor of God in this. And so we have talked about faith and seeking the face of God. We have talked about humbling ourselves in that we don't conduct ourselves in a proud and arrogant manner. God resisteth the proud but giveth grace unto the humble. We talked about without faith it is impossible to please God. We talked about prayer. We talked about praying so that we don't enter into temptation. And then we're talking about seeking his face. And where we seek his face is at the altar. And again, we are seeking his face. We're not necessarily seeking his hands. If we have his favor, we'll have his power. And so we want to make sure that we have his favor. And so we began in this part of our lesson last Wednesday night, and we started off with man may worship God without a temple if he has an altar, but he may not worship God without an altar even if he has a temple. And so it's important that we do have an altar in our lives. We talked about Elijah rebuilding the altar of God, and he did not use the altar of Baal, and he did not use the sacrifice that had been offered unto Baal. He took the time to rebuild a neglected altar, and he offered his sacrifice unto God upon that altar in order to see the favor of God fall in the form of fire upon that sacrifice. Amen. We talked about the 12 stones and how that God wants our entire life, not just fragments of our lives, but the 12 stones. And then we got into the altar in this part, and we got to talking about a couple of different offerings last week. We talked about the burnt offering in Leviticus 1, and that burnt offering was a voluntary offering, and it indicates entire surrender. And so we talked about being a voluntary offering. If you want to be overwhelmed with the care of life, if you want to be burdened down by all of that extra baggage, then God says you're more than welcome to try to carry it. And but don't blame him when the road gets too tough. And so, but if you want to give your life to God in entire surrender, then God will do that. And we cast all of our cares upon him according to 1 Peter chapter number 5, casting all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. But it's a voluntary thing. He's not just going to take it off of you because that he knows that it's best for you. He wants you to surrender it unto him. And so that is the burnt offering, amen, in that it is totally consumed and all that's left is ashes. And so when you give your cares unto the Lord, then it is consumed. And then we got into the meat offering. The meat offering was a grain offering, kind of contradictory to what it sounds like, but again, it was a voluntary offering of fine flour and oil with frankincense, recognition of God's goodness and provisions, and it was a sacrifice that was made without blood, and so it shows representing a living sacrifice, and this living sacrifice is indicative of entire surrender, that we totally surrender our lives completely to God while we are alive. We give our lives completely unto God for his cause, for his way. Amen. And so we want to get into the rest of these offerings tonight, and hopefully we can cover these last three. I don't plan on being very long, but I'll be just being punctual and to the point of it. But nevertheless, we want the Lord to move amongst us. And so we come into Leviticus chapter number 3. And in Leviticus chapter number 3, we come to another offering, and this offering is entitled the peace offering. And again, the peace offering was a voluntary offering. It is the last of the voluntary offerings, and it was so that the offerer could eat of the meat, and that he was going to sacrifice there upon that offering, and not only was that he could eat of it, but all of those that was with him. And so it teaches us that the offerer and his companions could eat of the meat, which indicates fellowship or communion with God. And so it was a sacrifice that it was made. It was not consumed. It was a blood sacrifice, but it was cooked to the place that the offerer and those that was with him would be able to partake of that sacrifice in this peace offering that they had. And so it was the fellowship and the communion with God. Now, it goes much deeper than that, and we could talk a lot about this, but we see that this is kind of a particular offering in communion and fellowship that is symbolized even with Adam and Eve, and that their sin, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but just let me state this, and we'll come back to it and gather it all up in time, but their sin basically broke them from being in communion with God. And so the first thing that they wanted to do, because they were not at peace with God any longer because that they had disobeyed the voice of God. And so these offerings do tie into one another. And you've got to have the peace offering because you've got to be in communion with God. And we're going to find out that it goes deeper than this. But sin will separate you from the communion with God. And so jumping a little bit ahead, and that as you offer a sin offering unto God, that you make sure that you offer that fellowship, that communion back with God. That God, I'm just not interested in you forgiving me of my sins and forgiving me for who I am. I want to be in communion with you. And so we see that this is typical, amen, and a part of the offerings that was made. And this is where we gather that communion with God, and that God desired to commune with Adam and Eve. And we take communion, and it is all and symbolic of all of this. But it puts us into communion with God. But it's not just for that, this peace offering that was made, and typifying that we have peace between us and God. But it's not just between us and God. We would see that Jewish history teaches that when they would offer this peace offering, that those that they may have had aught with, and that in finalizing some things, they offered to go with me to church so that we can sacrifice together and that we can sit down and fellowship and commune with one another. Amen. Because you see, often times you might be able to forgive somebody for a wrong that you have that they have done to you, but that doesn't necessarily put the communion back together. Because a good sign of being truly forgiving, and a good sign of forgiving somebody and fixing things, is to offer that peace offering, amen. And that peace offering, amen, is in fellowship. And that there are some people that when they have aught with their brother, and their brother comes to them and says, look, I know that I've done you wrong, and I'm asking you to forgive me. The top cream of it is, you know what, I forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did to me. And or you say, you know what, I'll forgive you, but we'll never fellowship. You know, you stay on your side, I'll stay on my side, and we'll agree to go to church together. We'll agree to cohabitate together as far as in the same church and stuff like that. But that's as far as it's going to go. And there's no peace. And with there being no peace in the body, then it creates disharmony and disunity. And you can say that you forgive somebody, amen, but the true sign of forgiving somebody is when you can say, you know what, I forgive you, and I want to take you out for lunch. Let's go out and eat together. You know what, I forgive you. Why don't you come over to the house, and let's have dinner together this coming Saturday. Amen. What you are doing is you are burying the hatchet completely, but not only that, you are showing the enemy that is sowing division and discord into the lives, into the church, you're showing the enemy, hey, we have put this behind us, and we are showing in good faith that we are going to work together to make all of this correct and right. Well, glory to God. You see, there's a lot more that goes than just simply with forgiving one another. Amen. But there is this peace offering that is there. That is voluntary. Amen. But I want you to know that if you're not willing to go this far, and if you're willing to harbor, amen, those feelings, amen, God has got verses in your Bible for this type of thing. Amen. He said, because when your brother has done you wrong and has aught against you, you bring your offering or your sacrifice unto the altar. Amen. You can present it to them. If they don't receive it, you set it aside for them. That when they finally get their spirit right, you can say, I've got a gift that's been set aside for you. It's the peace offering that's been set aside for you, because I've been willing to stay in communion, amen, with all of this. And it's not you saying, well, you know what, I forgave you a long time ago and I want it, but you're the one that had the problem. That shows me that you've got a little bit of problem too. Hey, I want you to know something, amen, that division in the body will destroy revival quicker than anything. And that's one reason that God said in the book of Proverbs, he said that sowing discord among the brethren is one of the things that he despises and hates. Praise the Lord. Amen. Unity, amen, is sweet, amen, like the oil that flowed down Aaron's beard. And so this is the provision that is given unto us. Amen. It's not just bringing us at peace, amen, to God and with God, but it is showing, amen, that I am at peace with my brother or with my sister, whom I have had aught and against and with at times past. Don't stand up and tell me I want revival if you're not willing to forgive and fellowship somebody else in the church. Well, glory, maybe I need to say that again. And don't come tell me how much that you want revival and how much that you believe in revival. Amen, and that revival means everything to you if you're not willing to fellowship with somebody in the church. If you're not willing to get rid of all of that, amen, you got to understand that it is the enemy that wants to sow division, amen, and you're allowing the enemy to sow that division amongst you. You know what? It's not always easy to go up to somebody and to apologize and to make it right, but it is the right thing to do. And it's not the right thing to do to go up to them when you know that you've offended them, and to go up and do them and offer that huge, enormous word, if I have offended. You know you offended them. So just simply say, brother, it's obvious that I have offended you, and I know what I did, and I want you to know that I'm wrong, and I should have been thinking about you, and I am asking you to forgive me for what I did. You're making a peace offering because it's the enemy that's wanting to sow the division that is in there. And the Lord has already put it in the place that he is stating, look, amen, this is already in place so that we can have unity in the body. And it's the peace offering that is there. Praise God. The Bible teaches us, amen, over in the book of Romans chapter number 14 and verse number 17, amen, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, amen. And we could talk about righteousness, and that's for some other time, but I want to talk about that peace that is there since we're in this peace offering. And that word peace just simply means not that you've got peace within your spirit and that you feel good about yourself, but that peace is that you have, amen, peace with your brother. Because when you take this into perspective in this verse here, amen, the righteousness is respect to God, the peace is respect to our neighbor, denoting concord, being in unity among the brethren, and the joy is in respect to ourselves, amen. When you've got respect unto God and respect unto your brethren, the joy is just going to happen. Amen. But you can't pick and choose what you're going to have there. Amen. You cannot say, you know what, I think I'm going to take joy, but I'm not going to have righteousness. You're not going to have joy. Amen. And you can't say, I'll take joy and righteousness, but there ain't no way I'm forgiving my brother. Amen. That ain't going to happen either. Amen. You're not going to have the favor of God upon you. You've got to have it all. Amen. And if you have righteousness and peace like you're supposed to have, I can promise you, you're going to have the joy that you're supposed to have.
Amen. I know that there are times that we get to the place that we would rather not even go to church just because of the friction that can be in the midst. Amen. We ought to understand that this is not of God. This is the enemy working to sow discord, working to sow disunity, the enemy trying to deviate the will of God, to cause the hand of God, the blessings of God, and the favor of God to be removed off of us so that we can't accomplish what God wants to accomplish through us, and that is revival. That is being able to see other people saved. That is being able to see people receive the Holy Ghost and see people baptized in His name. That's the will of God. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And so we've got to make sure that we stay on guard, that when the enemy comes in trying to sow friction and discord among the brethren, amen, that we stand up against it and say, listen here, devil. You're not going to get me at aught with my brother. You're not going to get me at aught with my sister. Amen. I'm going to do whatever I've got to do to keep the peace. I'm not saying that you've got to go sin. Amen. But I'm telling you, there is a price. Amen. There is a sacrifice that's got to be made so that we can keep the peace, so that God will continue to smile upon us in our efforts to be about the kingdom. Amen. Let's love the Lord here today. Praise God. James 3 and 13. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. First righteousness, and then it brings peace about. Romans 14 and 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Amen. I want to take you over into the book of Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're just going to move through this rather quickly, but let's just go ahead and let's take a look at this. Ephesians chapter number 4, and we begin reading here at verse number 1. And Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness. There's the humility. There's being humble. He said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Praise God. Amen. Let me just elaborate a little bit on that. Forbearing one another in love. You know what forbearing simply means? Put up with. That's what it means. Put up with. You know, I'm not going to like everything that you like. And you're not going to like everything that I like. There'll probably be some things that may aggravate you about me. And there'll probably be some things about you that aggravate me about you. Do you know of any family that doesn't have those issues? I mean, brothers can't even get along. I don't know, can twins get along all the time? No, they can't even get along all the time. Siblings can't get along. Spouses don't get along all the time. And so there's things that we put up with, we forbear. And this is the same that we do in the house of God as well. There are things that may irritate you concerning, but everybody is not like you. Thank God. Everybody's not like me. That's a shame. No. Thank God. But I recognize that. And I have got to, as long as we're not sinning, I've got to allow people to be people. And you've got to allow people to be people. And we've got to forbear one another in love. We're going to have to put up with each other. There's going to be times that new converts might get on our nerves. But we're going to have to put up with some whining and some crying. We're going to have to put up, amen, I don't want to say so much about it, but some friction. But let's solve the friction and let's forbear one another. This is what Paul says. Amen. He talks about coming in lowliness and humility and meekness. And then he said, forbearing one another in love. Put up with one another in love. And then he goes on to say, he said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that word endeavoring simply means to try hard to achieve something. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keep the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring. You're going to have to try. You're going to have to put forth your best effort. Paul is simply saying, hey, I'm letting you know that there are spirits, there are things that's going to creep in, that's going to cause you to withdraw and to pull away from the body. There's going to be friction. There's going to be division that is there. But there is an answer for all of it. And what would happen if we all forbear one another and if we all endeavor to keep the peace, amen, or to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm telling you, church, if we could get this mentality that we're not going to let the enemy get in between us, just like a husband and a wife relationship, amen, we got to do everything that we can to keep, amen, this unity. And so somebody says, amen, that a marriage is 50-50. No, a marriage is not 50-50. A marriage is 100-100. Amen, because whether she does or she doesn't, you said, amen, for better or for worse. That's 100%. She said, for better or for worse. That's 100%. Amen. So it's 100-100. Somebody said 50. I'll give 50 if she'll give 50. No, you give 100 if she gives 0. That's the vow that you took. Amen. And you don't want to be given 100 while she's given 0. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to endeavor to keep the spirit of unity. You're going to forbear in love some things that may upset you. Amen. You're going to learn, amen, how to get along. And that's the unity that we've got to have in the house of God. Amen. We've got to learn to make sure that we forbear one another in love, and that we endeavor to keep the spirit of unity, amen, and the bond of peace that is there, amen. And so we've got to be quick to forgive and quick to forget some things, amen. And let those, oh praise God, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, don't stomp on them, take them to the curb and let them ride it out by themselves to see if they might be able to make it. But ye which are spiritual, restore or such a one. Well, I knew they'd never make it anyway. That's not unity. That's not the bond of peace. And that's the way that we've got to be. This is the peace offering that is there. If it didn't have any importance, God would not have put it in there. Amen. And I know that it's a voluntary offering. Amen. But how many of you want to live in a relationship where there's 100% friction at all the time? Amen. Well, you can if you want for a period of time, but then after a while, you're probably going to separate and go your individual ways. And so what you're going to do, you're going to endeavor. You're going to try your best, amen, to achieve this, to keep the spirit, the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this is Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. Anybody know what Ephesians 4 and 4 and 4 and 5 and 4 and 6 say? Yeah, we're in that same chapter. Amen. For there is one God. Amen. For there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in us all. We don't get a holy Bible because we cut everything else out but that. We like that verse, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. But just two verses before that, it says to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. We love that chapter. I think we do. Ephesians chapter number 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is above all and through all and in us all. But let's skip down to the end of that same chapter and let's read it. Verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. That's all in the same book, and at this particular time it's all in the same chapter, but it's all in the same letter, amen, that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Concerning that one God and one Lord and one faith, one baptism. Amen. He said, that's all good, but let us not forget, amen, to try our best to keep the spirit of unity, and let us be quick to forgive one another, and let us put away bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking up from us, and let us be kind one to another. Amen. I'm telling you, church, we want the favor of God, but God's favor is going to be pulled from us. It's just like a parent looking at the, amen, at the children there, and they're bickering and they're fighting amongst one another. Amen. And daddy isn't happy about that. Mama isn't happy about that. It puts, amen, discord in the entire family. And mama says, you know what, you need to stop that or you're going to get in trouble. And daddy may take it out and get, amen, somebody in trouble. Amen. For it all. That's the same way as our Heavenly Father's looking down upon us, and when we can't get along with one another, and we're supposed to go to heaven with each other for eternity, we need to make sure we got it right. We need to make sure we got it right. And so we're going to be careful, and we want the favor of God. I want the favor of God upon this church. Amen. But I think all of us want the favor of God upon our individual lives as well. And so if you want the favor of God in your life, you make sure you got it right with your brother, your sister. And if your brother and your sister come to you and say, hey, I want you to forgive me for what I did. I was wrong. I want you to forgive me. You better forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, I could preach for an hour here right now. But if you don't forgive them, the Bible said your Heavenly Father ain't going to forgive you of your trespasses either. I'll go a step further. When we look at that wicked man in whom the Lord came, the master came, and he said, I'm going to throw you in jail because you owe me a whole lot of money. And he said, oh, master, just be patient with me, and I will repay all. He forgave him the entire debt. And then he went over, and somebody that owed him just a few cents, amen, he told him, he said, you need to repay me. He said, be patient with me, and I'll pay you all. He said, no, and he threw him in jail. And when the master heard about it, he recalled every red penny that first man owed and held it against him. Ouch. That's how important being forgiving one towards another is. God said, if somebody asks you to forgive them, you need to forgive them. Because if you don't, not only am I going to not forgive you, but there's a chance I may pull up everything that I've already forgiven you for. I'll pull it all up and put it back against your account. Amen. He's serious about this forgiving one another stuff. Praise God. And so we want to be sure that we keep unity of the body in harmony with the church, and that we go one to another. And we say, hey, brother. And you know what? Sometimes I've done it. I went to a man one time and I said, look, brother. I said, it's very, very obvious that I have offended you. And I have no idea what I've done. And I'm very, very honest about this. I'm picking on you today. Sorry. I said, look, it's very, very obvious that I have offended you. And I really don't know what I've done. I'm being serious. I don't know what I've done. But if you will tell me, I'll correct it and I'll make it right. Would you please tell me? And he said, well, you know, brother, this is what it is. And so I said, you know what? I understand. I apologize. I'm sorry. Now I know what not to do. There's times that you have to do it like that. But there's other times when you know what you did. So just go and own up to it and say, look, I know what I did. And I did wrong stuff. I'm apologizing. I want to make sure it's right. I want us to be in harmony one with another. I want us to be able to work with each other.
Because this is about God. This is about revival. This is about having people. And doing this voluntarily, amen, is going to create peace in the body, amen. And it's going to help us to have the favor of God about us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I got to move on quickly. I'm already about 20 minutes behind. Let's move on. Let's go to Leviticus chapter number 4. I'm trying to get through all of these today. And I'm going to have to tie Leviticus 4 and Leviticus 5 together. They've got to go together. And so we take a look at Leviticus chapter number 4. Leviticus chapter number 4 talks about the sin offering. Now, unlike the burnt offering and the meat offering and the peace offering, the sin offering was a mandatory offering. It was mandatory. There's no getting around this one. You've got to offer the sin offering. And I don't have time to get into everything that it was. We haven't really gotten into all the other stipulations about the ox or about the cow or about the goat or about the turtle dove or anything else that had to deal with all of that stuff. But we're going to talk about this sin offering here in Leviticus chapter number 4. Now, first of all, the sin offering, it typifies the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made upon the cross. That he was that sacrifice, all right? And so that's what it typifies. But it goes much, much further than this. And so the sin offering being a mandatory offering, it dealt with the sinner and the problem of sin. It was the confession of sin for the forgiveness, the cleansing from defilement. This is what the sin offering was. All right, now let's go over to Leviticus chapter number 5. We've got to tie these two together. In Leviticus 5, we come to the trespass offering. And we read the stipulations that's placed upon that. But it talks about that the trespass offering is another mandatory offering. Now, these are two mandatory offerings, and they're not the same thing. They are two separate offerings, two separate sacrifices that are to be made. Both of them are mandatory. And so I want to take a look at this as the importance that God puts upon these two sacrifices that is going to help us to be able to understand where some of our hardship comes from. And so this trespass offering was a mandatory offering dealing with particular sins, and it was the payment and the restitution for these sins. So let me break it down a little bit finer for you. And let's compare the sin offering and the trespass offering. The sin offering related to sin, a noun. The trespass offering related to sins, a verb. The sin offering dealt with what we are, which is sinners. The trespass offering deals with what we do, which is sin. The sin offering deals with the root, which is sin. And the trespass offering deals with the fruit, which is sins. But it's two mandatory offerings that have got to be offered and got to be dealt with. Both are necessary. Both are required of the Lord. The sin offering and the trespass offering are linked together by being mandatory. And you cannot get past one without getting through the other. So I could tell you tonight that we are not sinners because that we sin, but rather we sin because that we are sinners. As in, an apple tree is not an apple tree because that it bears apples, but it bears apples because it is an apple tree. This goes back to our lesson last week. It said, if we say that we have no sin, we lie. It does not justify sin. But we know that there is sin.
And so we offer this, and this is what he talks about in Exodus chapter number 29 in our text. And he said that there should offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. Why every day? Because there was also this thing called inadvertent sin or ignorant sin. And we're going to tie all of this together so that we can understand. And I know that some of you are already confused, and so I'm going to help you, amen, before I just dismiss you. I'm going to help you to be able to understand this because it is extremely important. So let me first of all talk about this, in that the rank of mention in the Bible, that the Bible talks about the burnt offering 197 times. That is a voluntary offering. That was the offering that was for entire surrender. And then the meat offering is the peace, or it is the living sacrifice, and it's spoken of 123 times. It is a voluntary offering. The sin offering is spoken of 119 times, being a mandatory offering. The peace offering of communion and fellowship is spoken of 43 times, and the trespass offering is spoken of 36 times in all of this. And so what we can understand from this is that the burnt offering, a voluntary offering, is the most mentioned, as God wants us to be totally surrendered and to be conscious of all things. And then the meat offering is next, because God wants there to be a living sacrifice and voluntary in it all. And then we have the sin offering, the mandatory offering that deals with the nature of humanity. Then the peace offering, and then the trespass offering, amen, is the least that is mentioned, and it's the one that we pay the most attention to. The trespass offering is the one that we give most attention to. And then the third offering, amen, that was mentioned, is one that we give almost the least attention to. And both of them are mandatory. But what we find ourselves doing is we find ourselves going to the altar and we say, God, forgive me of the sins that I have committed. That's the one that we often deal with. Amen. That's why you get down and you say, you know what? God, forgive me for telling those lies that I told. God, I was lying. I know that I wasn't speaking the truth. And I'm asking you to forgive me of lying. That's the trespass offering. It needs to be put in with the sin offering. In other words, you need to deal with the nature of who you are. And you need to say, God, I want you to forgive me of my lying. Amen. For telling those lies. And I want you to help me because I am a liar. That's the sin offering. And nobody wants to deal with the sin offering because nobody wants to admit I'm that bad. Nobody wants to go to that place and confess and say, oh yeah. You know, if a person was supposed to commit adultery, how many times do they have to do it? Just simply once. And we call that person an adulterer because they've committed adultery. That person needs to come and deal with the trespass, and he needs to deal with the sin. In other words, he can come and he can say, God, forgive me for the adultery that I have committed. But if he doesn't deal with his nature, he's going to be right back out there committing adultery because he never dealt with his nature. He needs to own up to it in the altar and say, God, not only am I asking you to forgive me of the adultery, I'm asking you to deal with me. I am an adulterer and I don't want to do this again. I want to make sure that I'm clear and clean in all of this. I don't trust my flesh. I put no confidence in this flesh. For in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We can say, yeah, the adulterer needs to do that. But what about the liar? Because he can get forgiveness for lying, but if he doesn't deal with the nature of who he is, he's going to be right back out there telling that same old lie or telling different lies again. Because it's the nature of who he is. You can ask God to forgive you of your sins, but you need to ask God to help you deal with your nature, which is to be in that you are a sinner. And I'm afraid that that's why we don't oftentimes get the victory that we want, because we get hung up on the trespass offering, which is mandatory, amen, and we never go beyond all of that and deal with who we are. And you know, there's 100 million sins. Amen. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. There used to be just one sin. Amen. And one sin was taken care of by simply saying, don't partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. But later on, we find 10 commandments. And 10 commandments turned into 600 and something Mosaic, amen, laws and commandments that was there. Amen. And all of these other things. And there's a law for everything that is out there. Amen. But the individual that has to come and say, God, forgive me for what I stole. Amen. Needs to deal with his nature at that same altar and say, God, I need you to deal with my nature. I am a thief. And if I don't get my nature corrected, then I'm going to be out there and I'm going to find something else that I want. And I'm going to liberate it with the 5-finger discount straight into my pocket. Because you never dealt with your nature. Parents, we can deal with our children concerning the trespass that they do. But at some point or another, we've got to make sure that we deal with their nature. Because if we don't deal with their nature, they're just going to continue to be the same individual that they are. Amen. You can tell somebody, you know what, you don't need to do that. That's bullying. But then they need to take care of the nature, which they are a bully. Because you can say, all right, you know what, I'll ask them to forgive, but they're going to go right back and do it again. Hey, and it goes on and on and on and on. And so I'm asking you to put in the blank of the things that you have a problem with. Amen. Some of us are fault finders to the nth degree. Amen. No, it doesn't matter if somebody gave you $100. You'd say, yeah, I wonder what they want. And so we need to go to God and say, all right, God, I want you to help me with this. I don't want to be the fault finder. And here I am finding all these faults and I'm critiquing and I'm picking everything apart. And I don't want to, but that's just my nature. And I'm asking you, God, to help me to see the good in somebody. And it gets down to where we're living. Whether it's lying, whether it's fornication, adultery, being any type of pervert, whether it's being a thief, whether it's being a drug addict, whether it's being an alcohol. What do they do at AA? You go in there and the first thing that you've got to do is confess what you are. Your nature. Hi, my name is Mark and I'm an alcoholic. And until you admit that you are an alcoholic, they say, we cannot help you. And that's the way that it is in the house of God with God. God will forgive you and amen as you offer that trespass offering. But you're going to go commit the exact same things over if you don't take care of the sin offering and deal with your nature. You've got to deal with your nature. You've got to deal with your nature. You can say, you know what, God? I've got all this pride that's in me. And I'm asking you to forgive me of all these acts of pride that I have committed and whatever and all that it is. But until you deal with your proud nature, you're not going to change very much. You're just going to go do the same thing. Well, let's go a step further. You can say, God, forgive me. I'm always offending people. It seems like everything I do, I'm offending people. I am offensive. You say, God, forgive me for being so offensive towards everybody, but then you need to take care of your nature. What's your nature? You got a sharp tongue. God, help me to hold my tongue, to bridle my tongue. Help me, oh God, to not just spout off and just say everything that I'm saying, everything that I'm thinking. God, help me to fix this nature. I don't want to cause division. I don't want to cause issues in the body. And you're dealing with your nature, but you're not going to deal with your nature until you first pull up that sacrifice up and say, okay, God, this is who I am and I need help. The drug addict's never going to go, amen, check himself into rehabilitation until he finally decides to himself and says, you know what, I'm a drug addict. And he can try to sober up and he can try to go on detox and try to get it all out of his system and try to do that. But until he admits that he's got a problem with this and this is who he is, it won't be very long. He's going to be hung in with the same crowd and he's going to do the same thing over and over. But you got to figure out who you are. And I'm afraid that we have so many issues in the church because we're quick to offer a trespass offering. Amen. Which is mandatory. And it is important. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what's more important. And that is that God wants to fix the cause, not just the effect of it all. Amen. God wants to get down to where you're living. And God wants to talk to you about who that you are. But so many of us are saying, oh, no, I may have told a lie, but I'm not a liar. I'm just simply going to ask God to forgive me for the three lies that I told today, but I am not a liar. I am offended that you call me a liar. Well, you know what? You're going to tell three more tomorrow because that's who you are. And God says, look, you can cast all of your cares on me if you want to, and I'll take care of them. And I want you to be at peace, but that's between you. If you want to be at peace, we can be at peace. If you don't want to be at peace, you can try to make it. You're going to have a hard time, but it ain't going to happen. I want you to surrender your entire life to me, but if you don't want to, you can fight the hardness of that. But I am telling you what you will do. You will offer a sin offering, and you will offer a trespass offering. Say, okay, God, I'll offer the trespass offering, but we ain't talking about who I am. We can say, you know, that's why in the book of Malachi, they got so offended. The Lord said, you're robbing me in your tithe and your offerings. Well, they're offended. But until God deals with the nature, they're just going to continue to do it. We got to deal with our nature. We got to deal with who we are. We got to be careful. We got to forbear one another. And we got to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit amongst us. And we have to ask God to forgive us of our sins. But we also must ask God to deal with us about our sinful nature and who we are. Because if not, we're going to go right back to the same things. An individual can have a problem with pornography, and they can ask God to forgive them of it. But until they admit that they have a problem and they start working on themselves, a few days, a few weeks, they'll go right back into it because they never dealt with who they are. And so I want us to stand here tonight. And I want us to take all of this, and I want us now to put it together. And we want the favor of God. And so we're going to seek His face, and we're going to turn from our wicked ways. And so there's got to be an altar in our life. And that altar's got to be holy unto the Lord, or it's going to be just like Baal's altar. And so we've got to take time to cleanse that altar. And that cleansing is a type of repentance. And so we're making sure that we're totally surrendered. We're making sure that we're totally submitted. We're making sure that we've got peace and unity throughout the body. And then we are definitely taking care of the fruit of sin. But we're also taking care that we make sure we get out the root of sin. Why? Because this altar must be holy unto the Lord. And here's the main part of it. Because the Bible said in our text, whatsoever shall touch the altar shall be holy. Oh. Oh. And so we have a Jenny that comes in needing a holy altar. And she's got sin in her life. But she comes up to an altar that the church is making sure is clean. The church is making sure there's peace and unity. And we've got Ruthies that come in needing a holy altar. And we've got Kims. And we've got all of these others that need a place that they can come to. And the Lord is saying, if you'll take care of this altar, and if you'll make sure that it's clean, God, how am I supposed to clean it? With the sin offering, with the trespass offering, with the burnt offering, with the meat offering, and with the peace offering. And if you'll make sure it's clean, if you do all of these things, then I'll make sure that whatever comes in and touches the altar, it shall be holy. And when we come in and there's people that's seeking the Holy Ghost and they can't break through, amen, then there's a problem in the church somewhere. Chances are, I know that there could be a problem within them that they're not wanting to totally surrender to God. But instead of pointing our finger at them and saying, yeah, it's them, it's them, it's them. We may know it's them. But let's take time to go back and to clean that altar. So that when they come to the altar, they can feel the power of that altar. And they can say, you know what, I need to just let this go. And they feel the holiness of that altar. And they feel the conviction. And they say, I just need to let this go. And so instead of it being their problem, amen, we're making sure that on our end, we've got everything right. That when they come, there's total liberty in the altar. That when they are totally ready to get right, there'll be no problem. And they can come to this altar and find a holy God. And there will be a God that'll draw them. Because no man can come unto him except that his spirit draws them. And they'll drive by this church and think, you know what, I just need to go to that church. Or they're going to look us up in the phone book and they're going to say, you know what, I just need to go to that church. But something is going to draw them. And it's a holy altar. Because there's a body that's interested in making sure that it's clean. And we're making atonement for that altar. I said we're making atonement for that altar. We're not necessarily taking pledge, amen, and spraying on it and wiping it down. But we're pledging our lives on that altar, amen, as a living sacrifice. We're making sure that we're offering ourselves upon that altar so that whatsoever toucheth the altar, it shall be holy. And so our altar call here tonight will be twofold. It's going to make sure that I'm right. That you're right. And if you're struggling, if you're having issues, then why don't you own up to it and say, God, I know why. It's the same old problem. And tonight I've learned about the sin offering and I learned about this as my nature. And so God, I need you to help me deal with my nature. Because it's that same, I'm just tripping, I'm stumbling over the same thing, over and over again. And so, God, we got to deal with my nature. Let's deal with my nature. So let's take care of that. But let's also find an altar and say, God, I'm offering this peace offering up here. Because I want to make sure that I'm right with my brother, my sister. I want to make sure that I'm right with you. I want to be in communion. Because I want my family to come touch this altar. I want my friends to come touch this altar. I want my neighbors to come touch this altar. I want the lost in this community, I want them to come touch this altar. And I want them to find liberty. I want them to find freedom. I want them to come when they're addicted to drugs, I want them to come into this altar and find liberty and freedom and release from that addiction, deliverance from that addiction, that God would set them free through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that when they come to this altar, that they are filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God. So God, I want to make sure that as a part of this church, I want to make sure that I'm right and that the altars are clean. Would you do that tonight? Come on, there's sinners that are ready to be saved. There's backsliders that need to come touch this altar. You've got family members that need to come touch this altar. You've got friends, relatives, co-workers that you've been praying for. They need to come touch this altar. We as a church need to make sure that the altar is clean and that the altar is sanctified. We need to make sure that the altar is prepared and that it's right, so that whatsoever and whosoever comes to touch the altar shall be made holy. Oh, let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord today.